teamwork. Your head typically goes to sports when you hear the word teamwork, a group of individuals executing specific jobs to accomplish a goal for the collective. Of course, this can also be applied to many groups outside of sports, like school projects and work assignments. In the corporate world, teamwork revolves around successfully completing projects to better the company bottom line, which ultimately impacts employee paychecks. Motivation enough, but sometimes teams need to adjust their approach to get on the same page and get focused on the end results. So why did I invite in Captain Tim to the podcast? Welcome to the latest episode of Inside Connect and Simplify. Roger Firstnow here, and today we are talking about teamwork. Meet Tim Detloff, certified coach and founder of Full Sail Leadership Academy. Let's go jump on Tim's sailboat and see if we can navigate Lake Michigan, and along the way, get your leadership group working as a team. Tim, thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Roger. You've got a great organization here, and I'm glad to be part of it.
All right, so what came first, the boat or the idea to marry leadership training with sailing?
All started about the same time. When I first learned how to sail back in 2001, I already had my master's in education and saw the amazing parallels between human growth and development and learning to sailing, and saw just the amazing parallels to interdependence in the workforce and connections in the workforce. And it just all kind of started to collide all at that time.
So back in 01, you started sailing, but at what point did you go, okay, sailing, coaching mission, here we are, we're all in the same place. What was that about?
Yeah. About 4 years ago, I just had seen a number of organizations that were really struggling to build connections within the workforce, and saw how important it was when I looked at their productivity, their profitability, and then started looking at the Gallup research in the Q12 survey that shows just what happens when you improve employee engagement. And I was watching sailing teams that I was involved with on the water and looked at those teams that were really disconnected and disengaged and where there was lack of morale. I looked at their winning records and said, I bet you I can bring this to life in the workforce. And that's what I did 4 years ago.
Wow. So let's go back to the very first time you actually did this then. So you have a first opportunity, your first client.
Yeah.
Name him if you want, that's up to you. But how did that experience go, not only for you, but for them?
Yeah, it was really great. So our first client was Rexnord, and I sailed with one of the senior HR leaders, and she had a number of her colleagues in from around the world, all senior HR leaders, someone from Australia, someone from the Netherlands, from Great Britain, from Canada, from Vietnam, and then three from the United States. And we talked about the whole trust, respect, shared language component that we talk about now. Our curriculum's kind of morphed over the years to improve, but we talked about some of those rudimentary things as an organization. And we always do a classroom time and sailing time as separate times during our 4 hours or 8 hours together with a client. This was just a half day session. When we get back from the sailing session, we got back to the dock classroom and we asked, what did you experience on the water that reinforced what you learned in the classroom? And here you have 5 out of 8 global HR leaders, people that are the creme de la creme in the HR world, saying, wow, we need to change our onboarding process based on what we learned from you about shared language. That was powerful to me. That was an aha moment that says, yeah, if we can have a company like Rexnord have an epiphany about what they're doing based on what we're sharing with them, we have something that the market needs.
So we're gonna circle back to a couple of things you said in that statement. The first one would be, they came together as a group, even though individually they all came to a conclusion that, hey, they had an issue they had to fix. I've got to guess you've seen that happened more than once and it wasn't just onboarding or HR. In other areas of leadership, give me another example if you can.
Yeah, we had a company that was really struggling, an architectural art firm, with communication. And it's a company where we have architects leading one part of the project, artists that are taking what the architects come up with and making it look more elegant or exciting. And the leader of the company really had a vision that he could take his company to be the second largest architectural art firm in the United States. And of course, whenever I work with a client, what's stopping you? What's your challenges? What are the issues that you're dealing with as an organization? And the owner of this organization said, hey, look, the architects will get into a design process. The artists will look at it and then would typically say, well, we can't do anything with that. And the architects would get very frustrated. The owner got very frustrated because, hey, we just lost a whole bunch of time. And of course, time is money. And when the architects would typically ask the artists why they didn't get involved earlier, the artists would throw up their hands and say, well, we're not as smart as you guys. We don't know what's going to work. Our ideas aren't that important. And it was really bogging them down. And this is probably one of our favorite stories to tell because the owner just is a raving fan of ours. We got them out on the water, and in the classroom we talked about how rule number 5 in the Coast Guard book is like one of the most important rules around. And rule number 5 says that a vessel has to have a lookout at all times and in all directions in all manners possible. And so we stress that word all and how everyone is responsible for being a lookout. And we stress that the same thing is true within an organization, that everyone has to be vigilant to look out for the well-being of each other and for the good of the organization. That seemed to resonate within the classroom, but when we got them out on the water, it was a low wind day. And we had the artist take the helm first, and there was some reticence like, well, we're not smart enough to take the helm, which we quickly pointed out, hey, that's the same kind of thing you're doing within the organization. See the parallel? That hit home. But then when they got done taking the wheel, they went to sit on the high side of the boat in front of the mast. Beautiful place to sit on a normal day with good wind. This low wind day, it was a terrible place to sit. We asked them to move to the other side of the boat, move a little towards the back of the boat. We picked up speed, and when we got back to the dock and asked that question that we always ask, hey, what did you learn in the classroom? What did you experience on the water? Every one of the artists said, man, our takeaway is that sometimes you may have an idea that seems meaningless and unimportant, but it can make a huge impact on the organization. And they've been cranking towards that second largest architectural art firm in the United States right now.
Nice. So do these folks, so that you mentioned two specific companies there, do these folks come back for a second round, or do they bring other groups of their business teams in?
That's starting to happen now. Okay. Where they're coming back for more. There has been some referrals to other areas in the company, so we're starting to experience that.
Nice. So let's talk about this for a minute then. So you mentioned, you know, this was 4 years ago, first experience was Rexnord and how that went, and it sounds like it went really well. But obviously that was 4 years ago, so things have changed. And again, when we talk about what we do here, I joined the company 6 years ago. I'm not doing virtually anything I started with when I got here 6 years ago. I've morphed into different areas. And the company has morphed their vision and their goals to a different space than it was 6 years ago as well. So 4 years ago, you started with that first client and you had a thought of how it was going to go. Now, 4 years later, how have things changed? How have things evolved?
Yeah, we partnered up with an organization called Partner to Learn. And they are great partners within our organization to really enhance what we're delivering as far as curriculum. We talked about some of the stuff that we do now, but they have really brought some amazing curriculum to our classroom session. the curriculum was designed and revamped by a man that has his PhD in educational leadership. And so our curriculum that we're offering is rock solid. I would put it up against anyone's curriculum. So we include things now like the five essentials of a team, where we kind of flip Patrick Lencioni on his head when he talks about the dysfunctions of a team. We talk about the five essentials of a team. We've included the Clifton Strengths Analysis, and we'll take actually clients through the Clifton Strengths Finder to help each person on a team identify their strengths, and then we talk about partnering up opportunities. So that's something new over the last, probably 2 years. We also talk about steward leadership, and we also talk about the power of shared language and leadership, which is something we actually really started the company with, but we've just grown it and enhanced the curriculum to really make it a totally valuable learning experience for our clients.
So in that last section that you just talked about, it all revolved around education. Sailing is just the vehicle now, but education is really where all of this is coming from. And, you know, based on your background and the other folks you mentioned, you're all educators and you happen to use a sailboat to teach a lesson.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, different. Not a lot of folks have experienced that yet, I'm assuming. So interesting. What's the master plan? I mean, you're here, you're 4 years in. What's the plan now going the next 4 years? What do you have on the horizon?
We have licensed facilitators that are taking on positions with us where they're buying into our curriculum, working in Seattle, Florida, Cleveland, Southern California. We would like to do this, obviously, year-round. So we got into that last year. We did some work in the Florida Keys. We're putting partnerships together with other sailors in California so that client says, hey, our team wants to do something in Tampa. We're equipped to do that for them.
So does that mean you're actually going down there, or you have folks there? I mean, the boats are there.
It's a both and.
Gotcha. Because you can't personally have a boat in each spot just yet, right?
Not yet.
Okay. So why do business leaders bring the teams to you? What are they looking for? I mean, I think I have an understanding, but what are they looking for? What are they trying to solve?
I think they're trying to solve a couple of things. I think they're trying to solve a connection problem where you have a new team leader. So a few weeks ago, we did a program where a new COO was involved in a major organization in the United States and here locally. And he needed to rally his troops to share a new vision of what his organization was going to look like as the COO. I think there's times where organizations have goals of what the horizon could look like, but they need to have some time away to have someone mentor them through this process of what shared language are we going to use as an organization? How are we going to steward our mission as an organization and steward each other within the organization to see that what's on the horizon we can do? So we had a company about 3 years ago where two brothers started the organization about 25 years ago, and they were going to stay involved in the company, but they basically turned the company over to a leadership group of about 15 people. We used our session with them to say, okay, here's our new vision as an organization. Here's the team that's in place. Here's our history that we had. What can we do going forward to make this a success? So it's a multiple of issues that will come to us, but I think there's a bottom line desired for a future outcome that people are looking for. And it revolves around connectiveness and employee wellness.
Okay, so that makes sense to me. I got to wonder, though, there must be sometimes, and even in that first session that you described, you said 5 out of the 8 people came to the same conclusion. That's at least 3 people that maybe didn't come to that conclusion or had some other thought. What happens when you go through this process and there may be an epiphany or 5 epiphanies? How do they deal with it when they're still not on the same page, but they do realize that something needs to be done? I mean, that's kind of out of your hands. I get it. But what happens there?
They do a lot of dialogue around the subject, and take things back to the organization and deal with the problem in the organization, but we are available to help them out, to coach them along the way.
I was going to say, too, what's your follow-up to this? I'm sure you don't just walk away and never talk to these folks again.
No, we always follow up to see that the learning was valuable, because we want to make sure that we're delivering a valuable experience for them. And we are always there to, whether it's going through greater strength finders, coaching, or maybe some strategic planning around what's uncovered in the organization, we have the work with partner to learn that can help bring that about for the client.
Nice. Okay, so we also had something hit us in the last 2 years that we had never dealt with before. So you're doing your first couple of years of this, you're getting to a certain spot, and then we have this issue with COVID that came along, and everybody had to deal with it their own way. And we did too. I mean, we were in our space doing our prospecting and et cetera, and we knew how we were going to attack that year on the marketing side, and then that hit, and we couldn't go visit anybody, and nobody could visit us, and we do a lot of face-to-face. So we had to kind of change our focus on how we were going to talk to people. We also had to change from being a prospecting company to being a company that was just going to provide education and resources, because our clients are coming to us for two or three different things. They might be a payroll and a 401k client and benefits, whatever it might be. And all these regulations are going on and they don't know what to do. And we have all the information here. So we became an education resource for them. Now that's kind of morphed back to we're getting to a spot where it's not that bad. It's now the opportunity to actually go see people face to face and start doing business kind of like we did in the past. But how did it impact Full Sail when that hit? Because you're a face to face, we got to get on a boat and do some stuff, or in the classroom. What happened?
Yeah, it was tough. We had basically two clients that were brave enough to go out last year, but we did a lot of education, kind of like using your model, really, to say, all right, we're going to educate you about what we do as an organization and how we can help you. And really actually came in strong into this year, where we had clients signing up already in advance for work this year. So it was really a blessing actually in disguise. It was interesting because obviously we're in the great outdoors. We can separate people on the boat by, you know, the 6 feet. And there were just so many clients that said, yeah, just no way. There's just no way we're going to face any litigation because we took our people out on the water. So it impacted us, but in a way, it impacted us in a beneficial way because, again, we have clients lining up now.
So not back to normal, or actually kind of abnormal in that you have more going on than you anticipated,
yeah, right.
Which is a good problem.
Right.
Nice.
Well, right. I mean, people want to get back together and they want that face-to-face connection. It was so cool. We had West Bend Mutual yesterday and their internal audit team. And it was their first time doing something in a long time. And they were so excited to be doing it. And the takeaways were amazing. About, you know, using people's strengths and really building that trust back up after being disconnected so long. It was a great time for them.
Nice. So how are you actually finding or getting the word out to these folks that this is what you offer? What's your process to find people?
Yeah, it's a lot of networking, a lot of referrals, and a lot of work on social media to show what we do. Got some great videos out there so people can see what we're actually doing on a boat, and a lot of hard work.
Understood. So in my role, when I'm out visiting with business owners, I'm always listening for opportunities that we can help them with. And I've got a multitude of things to listen for because we don't just have one arrow in our quiver. We do a lot of stuff here. But along the way, I also listen for other stuff as well. I'm listening for opportunities for some of the other folks that I network with that I know I regularly see people struggling with an issue, whatever that might be. So if I'm meeting with a business owner and we're chatting about what's going on with his business, what am I looking for or listening for that could go, oh, you know what? I think I have a guy you should talk to about that. I have Tim. Maybe you need to meet him. What would that be?
Yeah, I think the phrase man, I can't get everybody on the same page. I really want to get people on the same page. I think that's a great sign that people are disconnected, that they're not seeing the vision, the mission in the organization that they're wildly excited about. The phrase, man, my people just seem disjointed or disconnected. Another one. I think phrases like, we're just not as productive anymore, is another great sign that we can help. Because we take those people, we teach them the things we teach them in the classroom, but then we talk about that whole interdependence where, hey, if Sarah's trimming the jib, somebody else can be doing a lot of other things, watching the mainsail, watching for traffic, you know, this whole dance of making a sailboat go from point A to point B is just a perfect analogy of what goes on every day in corporate America and how people can really connect better, serve each other, and serve the clients to the best of their ability.
One thing I haven't asked at this point is there a specific type of company, industry, size of company? Does that matter when you're looking at potential prospects or folks that might get a benefit from what you do?
Yeah.
And what's the perfect client?
I don't think there is one. We've helped small professional service firms. We've helped Fortune 500 and 100 companies to really do that better job of connecting and getting on that common vision and mission. The commonality is, hey, we need to do a better job at connecting.
Got it. Okay. So this is your time to do a commercial if you want to do a commercial. This is what I'm going to throw out there. Do as much or as little of this as you want. But again, tell us who you are. So you and the company, what you do, how it's going to help some business out there that might be having a connection problem. And continue on. Where can you be found? Anything else we need to know about how to find you or start a conversation with you? Do your commercial. Okay. What's that?
Yeah, so if a company is looking to increase productivity and profitability, we can help that company by teaching them the five essentials of a team. We can help them boost their trust. We can help them change negative conflict into positive conflict. We can help an organization build commitment and accountability because we view accountability as the highest form of praise within an organization. We can help people work from their strengths. We can help leaders develop a caring attitude and caring team members to have a caring attitude towards the organization. And we do that around shared language. And we reinforce what we do, what we teach, using the sailboat and sailing around Lake Michigan, the British Virgin Islands, the Florida Keys, Seattle. We have someone working in Cleveland now as well. People can find us at fullsailleadership.com. They can find us on LinkedIn, and they can find us on Facebook as well.
This is always one of the questions I love asking too, because we're talking about business, we're talking about helping people. All that stuff. You've got your story that goes back however many years, and I've got
mine. Yeah,
everybody's right. Got their own story. So every single sailboat trip you've taken with all your clients has gone perfectly. There's never been a mishap. Nobody's fallen overboard. Nobody's gotten hit in the head. Everything's perfect, right? Or is there a story that something funny happened one time? You got to have one interesting story about one of your clients.
Yeah, no one has fallen overboard. No one's got hit with a boom. I think one of the coolest stories, it became an aha moment. We have a client that has a number of locations throughout the city. They're in the health field. And the general manager was assigned the backgrounding task by the owner of the company, meaning that, okay, this general manager was going to tell me the key issue that they needed to solve. And it revolved around shared language, that people needed to understand the shared language within the organization so that when they're setting up metrics, everyone understands the metrics. When they're communicating with the client, this is the same way we're going to communicate with client X and client Y so that there's this consistent delivery for the customer. And this general manager, with all due respect, he's an army soldier in the reserves. Saw combat experience. He was an enlisted officer. And he knew the importance of shared language, but when we were teaching it, you could just see him check out, like, okay, enough of this shared language stuff, even though I told you shared language is important. So we wanted to help him see the value of what we were teaching his people, so we asked him to take the wheel first when we got out on the water. And we had talked about in the classroom, hey, this is how you turn the sailboat. This is what the commands are, the shared language that we're going to use to implement the tack or the jibe. And when he carried it out, he kept turning the boat in a circle. And you could just see his team members starting to get a little dizzy from the way he was driving. So I just paused and asked him, hey, Mike, what's the problem here? Why are you turning a boat in a circle when we're just supposed to turn it 90 degrees, basically? Mike just looked at me and he said, I guess I don't understand the shared language and how to carry it out. Here he had that droning voice of the teacher in Charlie Brown as the wah, wah, wah lady, right? You could just see him having that reaction. And yet when it came out and time to carry through on the shared language, he was clueless. And he said, lesson learned. I understand it now. Thanks for droning us into our head. So it was kind of cool.
So he got out of the circles, I take it?
He did stop sailing in circles, and we actually sailed on to our destination.
So is there any more to that story? I mean, you mentioned before that you follow up with folks. So how did that play out afterwards? Did you have a rest of the story scenario there?
Yeah, we talked to the owner of the company and asked about the takeaway, and he said that the general manager is much nicer to the team and more gracious when it comes to communicating with that language so that the organization can grow.
So it's a win. Nice. Is there anything else? We're about out of time, but is there anything else you wanted to talk about today that I haven't really touched on? Any other story or any other piece of your puzzle or what's coming up down the road you want to make sure we hear?
I think look for more partnerships with us. I love the vision and mission of your organization. We look forward to partnering with you all and providing team building activities through with your organization and continued growth in Full Sail.
Nice. Thanks for being here today again. One more time, what's the website? What's the best way to get connected to you?
FullSailLeadership.com, or send me an email at tim@FullSailLeadership.com.
Easy. All right. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Roger.
All right. And thanks for listening to this episode of Inside Connect and Simplify. Be well.
We appreciate you giving us a listen and learning about the benefit companies. Find our podcast and everything you want to know about our trademark human capital management platform, Connect and Simplify, at connectandsimplify.com. You can also find our podcast at Podbean, Pandora, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Alexa. Thanks for listening.